Good morning. My name is Bill Kleidke, and I'd like to welcome you to today's edition of Living in Baltimore. Our guest today is Mr. Keith Tyrion from Equality Maryland, and Keith is here today to talk to us about the state of equality in the state of Maryland. So, Keith, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. Happy to be here.
Oh, thank you so much for coming this day. First of all, for those of our listeners who are not familiar, could you please tell us a little bit about Equality Maryland?
Yeah, Equality Maryland is the largest statewide organization dedicated to lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender rights in Maryland. We were founded in 1988 as the Baltimore Justice Coalition, dedicated to adding sexual orientation to the city's anti-discrimination law. Mm-hmm. But then in 1990, the group of founders really recognized the need for this work, both politically and public education around LGBT issues, to go statewide and turned into a statewide organization called Free State Justice. And then in 2004, we became Equality Maryland.
Great, great. And what's your background and responsibilities at Equality Maryland?
I've been involved in lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender rights in Maryland for years, even before coming to Equality Maryland. I was the lead organizer in 2008 on the Montgomery County campaign to defend a law that added transgender people to the mm-hmm. county anti-discrimination law, and have really loved working on lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender rights here in Maryland. I think it's a great state with a lot of potential to really advance not only legal equality and be on the forefront of legal equality for LGBT people, but also really getting into the issues of lived equality and confronting that discrimination that LGBT people still continue to face on a daily basis. So I'm our director of advocacy and programs, which mm-hmm. means I design and implement our educational programming, making sure that people know who LGBT people are in their own communities, from Baltimore to the Eastern Shore, to in schools and facing the challenges that youth continue to face. So I really oversee what those programs look like to ensure that we're advancing that lived equality.
Great, great. Thank you. How can somebody find out more information about Equality Maryland?
The best way is to visit our website at uh-huh. equalitymaryland.org, or follow us on Facebook. Just search Equality Maryland and you'll get the latest updates that way.
Okay, great. And phone?
You can reach us at our office at 410-685-6567.
Okay, so it's www.equalitymaryland.org or 410-685-6567.
Yep, and then any general inquiries mm-hmm. via email can also be sent to info@equalitymaryland.org.
Okay, great, great, thank you. I interviewed Kara King from your organization a couple of years ago, and one of the many reasons why I wanted to have you on today was to kind of do a how have we done the last couple of years kind of show. And because it seems that you can't really kind of turn around without seeing some issue about hate crimes or some kind of oppression of LGBT people around. Not just Maryland, but across the country. And the news has certainly been full of it. But it's one thing to have the news, and it's quite another thing to actually know what's really going on. And you're, of course, someone who works with these issues and these problems every day. So how have we been doing the last couple of years?
It's undeniable that legally we have made incredible strides for lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender mm-hmm. rights here in Maryland. We saw the passage of marriage equality in 2012 and defending it at the ballot box when we won on question 6. And then last year, finally updating Maryland's anti-discrimination law to include transgender people. Both of those were huge wins that the community had been working towards for a long time and really prioritized for a long time. That was gratifying to see that legal equality come into place with both of those laws and some others that we passed along the way. Long overdue.
Yeah.
But where we've seen really less traction and less measurable gains is in the actual treatment of lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender people, especially yeah. when it comes to those most vulnerable within our community. And at Equality Maryland, we really take an intersectional approach to our work. We recognize that no one can be reduced to just their sexual orientation or just their gender identity, that lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender people are also people of color, are people of faith, are youth, are living in rural areas with even fewer resources than in the more urban areas of Maryland. And so our work looking ahead and in the past few years has begun to really prioritize addressing the issues that people living at those intersections face, because that's where homophobia and transphobia is compounded by racism, is compounded by sexism or xenophobia or anti-immigrant sentiments.
Yeah, they do all kind of intersect, don't they?
They really do. Yeah, yeah. For instance, right now we're working on a needs assessment of the transgender Latina community, mm-hmm. which has a pretty heavy concentration in Prince George's County, although also is a community that is across the state. But we're really seeing where these issues of racism and of anti-immigrant sentiments are compounding transphobia and sexism and putting this community at an increased risk of homelessness, of facing discrimination and harassment in public spaces. And our work is really about making sure that everyone has the equal opportunity to live their lives as their full selves and feel safe in doing so.
Right, right. Thank you. How's been the response of the government? I mean, to efforts to make the police more responsive to these issues and to make the courts more understanding of these issues, too.
I think that's a place, again, where we've seen some steps forward, uh-huh. but we're nowhere near where, you know, the full community really needs to be and needs to see. Equality Maryland is a co-chair of the Baltimore Police Commissioner's LGBT Advisory Council, and are working within that to, you know, hold people accountable, to make sure that the systems are in place to really mm-hmm. understand our community's needs and treat our community fairly. So making sure that people know how to interact with the transgender people on the street, or know what the unique needs are and unique obstacles that are faced. So the fact that even such an advisory council exists right. is a step forward.
Definitely.
There are still these issues that really need to be addressed. And again, this is where the intersectionality of our community and of the work to be done really, really comes clear. We know that LGBT people of color, and in particular transgender people of color, and even more so specifically transgender women of color, are at the greatest risk for violence and for those kind of interactions, that we need to make sure people are treated fairly and make sure that we're doing all that we can so that transphobia and homophobia and racism and sexism aren't a daily obstacle to living life.
Absolutely. Absolutely. What can our listeners do?
Educate your own communities, educate yourself. As these laws are passed and as mm-hmm. we make legal progress, it doesn't automatically go hand in hand with changing hearts and minds. Right. And showing communities that lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender people are valued members of our communities and of the places that we call home here in the state. One of the big successes we've had is in conducting trainings of groups from faith institutions and congregations to human resources professionals to human relations commissions to, yes, police and law enforcement officers. Really across the board, we've trained over 1,000 people just within about a year on issues that are relevant to LGBT people and on both legal protections, but also really the understanding of who lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender people are, so that they can connect to that face. So yeah. You can contact us. We are ready and available to hold trainings, to hold events, whatever your community needs, and what you're seeing. We're really open to hearing from people who are facing this issue over and over again, and how mm-hmm. we can help and support folks on the ground educating their own communities.
So they should contact info@equalitymaryland.org or that phone number, 410-685-6000. 6567?
Yep, that would be a first step.
Okay, great. Wonderful. Wonderful. I think that I've been working in civil rights a long time, and what I've seen is that the behavior of people, of course, is very, very far behind the laws. We can make strides in laws, but the behavior of a certain number of folks out there takes a long time to change. And it seems that one of the major things that helps in that change is getting so that folks understand that everybody's people. Everybody has the same needs and the same goals and the same values and the same, you know, all of these things are things that we share rather than that differentiate us. And so the work of your organization in training and in making people the non-transgender LGBT community out there understand what that everybody's just people here. You know, we're not dealing with anybody that's, because that was the same reaction that blacks were seen as separate, you know, and gays were seen as separate, that these are somehow different people. You know, this is some kind of different race or different ethnicity or something like that.
Yeah, and that's a really important point, is that we do see, as people become more familiar with lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender people, yeah, that hearts, and that's a huge step in changing and shifting hearts and minds.
Start becoming more in line with what the law is.
Yeah,
and maybe hopefully towards the spirit of the law.
Hopefully, because that is what we want to embrace. And one interesting part is also that lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender people are often forced to justify or legitimize their identities as valid or right, as just as valid.
Right.
No one questions the gender identity of a non-transgender person, and yet it's still something to say a transgender woman is a woman or a transgender man is a man. And that's a huge part of the work ahead, is even just holding these identities as just as valid and something that shouldn't be questioned, but should be, like you said, respected and recognized for how we are alike and how we are human rather than how people are different.
Yeah. And probably like in the gay case with several lesbians, for example, being on TV, that kind of exposure also will help people understand that, hey, well, wait a second, this person's gay and they've been gay all along and I've been laughing and I've been crying and I've been doing all these things with them.
Yeah, that your sexual orientation or gender identity is an important part of you, but one part of you for
sure. Right. That's right. That's right. And your personality and strength of character have a lot more to do with, you know, things than you know, your favorite color.
Yeah.
You know, not to, you know, diminish things, not to diminish the problems. But I think that we're on the road, would you say, Keith?
We are on the road. We can be proud of how far we've come and the advances we've made while still really recognizing the incredible amount of work that needs to be done and is ahead of us.
In the next minute or so, could you please tell us something of what still remains to be done?
Yeah, issues of racial justice and where they intersect with LGBT rights are a huge part of the work that needs to be done. And that both includes education around Black LGBT people are an important part of our community, and educating the LGBT community itself within our own community that racial justice is an important issue that needs to be addressed is one huge part of the work ahead. Yeah. We also need to make sure that our youth really feel safe. Right now, you know, youth seem to be coming out in huge numbers, definitely younger and more so than in generations past.
Yeah.
But that means that a youth can come out and be kicked out of their house because their parents don't accept them for who they are. And we are working on confronting the school-to-prison pipeline and making sure that those youth aren't kicked out, forced to survive on the street, turn to survival crimes, stop going to school because they don't feel safe, end up in the juvenile justice system, and really confronting that at every step of the way. So youth confronting racism and advancing racial justice and making sure, again, that every single member of our community is free to live their full lives.
Absolutely. Unfortunately, that's all we have time for today. I want to thank our guest, Mr. Keith Tyrion from Equality Maryland, for being our guest today. Thank you, Keith.
Thank you so much for having me.
Keep up your good work for all of us.
Thank you.
And for living in Baltimore, I want to thank you for tuning in. Let's try to be a good neighbor out there in all of our neighborhoods, and we'll see you next time.